Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Manjula, the moderator for this conference. Welcome to the NIIT conference call. For the duration of the presentation, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode. I will be standing by for the question and answer session. I would like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Thadani. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening. Thank you for joining this conference call. This is Vijay Thadani, and joining me on the call today, we have a fairly large team. Chairman Rajiv Pawar, all the presidents of the businesses, the CFO, investor relations. So what I would do is get started with the results of the third quarter. I will give a quick brief for the first 15 odd minutes, and then we will leave sufficient time for Q&A. I just want to say two things in the beginning of this call. One, that we have a very seasonal business, and quarter three is traditionally been the lowest quarter of the year, and therefore the results of quarter three have to be read in that context. And that's the reason we prefer that the comparisons are more valid year on year. The second thing, I don't think we all need an introduction or an update to the deteriorating condition in the global economy and things which are happening all over the place. People believe that the last quarter has been more volatile than any quarter they have seen any time. We ourselves have seen swings in oil prices, foreign exchange, and various other issues. But overall, I think low liquidity, tight market, and extreme risk aversion are the highlights of this. Corporate sector, therefore, is operating in a great state of uncertainty. We do see consumer sentiment affected adversely across the sectors, and we do see governments across the world stepping in with fiscal monetary measures as well as to boost measures to improve infrastructure, and that on one hand, you suddenly banks ran dry out on cash, and then suddenly they have liquid cash but do not know where and how to have the confidence to invest with. And overall, I think in this whole confusion, people believe that coming out of this recession, there are expectations of a long and painful process before we can see a recovery. So in this backdrop, which has been by and large quite gloomy, we have had a mixed set of results in this quarter, and one good thing we feel all good about is we've been able to adopt some successful strategies on one hand and been able to cope with some adversities quite uniquely. In the Indian economy, our GDP growth has, the estimates have dropped down to now 6 to 7%. We have had a lot of money being pulled out of Indian equities in this year, nearly $13 billion. We have had corporate growth and profitability, which is a mixed bag, but overall slower in the short and medium term. We have inflation, which was a concern area middle of the year, suddenly becoming a non-issue at 5 to 6%. We have Forex, which was becoming a very dangerous area. Some people took positions, and the reverse is happening at this point of time. And the government is moving in with a lot of policy measures to boost the economy. In our education and training business, coming one step lower, we do see that global slowdown is affecting hiring plans and by and large across the board, across the world. On the other hand, within the country, I think India, within the countries, I think India continues to remain the most bullish in terms of, and most optimistic in terms of a future recruitment. There was a recent survey in which of the employers surveyed, 22% expect an increase in staffing levels, 4% a decrease, and 63% expect no change in the fourth quarter. IT sector, which is an important sector for our business, has growth has slowed down, but there is positive growth. There is recruitment. We see need for certain specializations, and we also see some of the industry leaders like Infosys and TCS now beginning to increase their hiring guidance. We have ourselves seen a growth in enrollment, in placements, which is fairly strong, and in fact are quite contrary to the many, many college graduates who are otherwise waiting for the job. So it, in a way, it proves that specialization is becoming a very important necessity. We do see that banking and financial services sector within the country has kind of frozen in terms of hiring, in terms of in terms of future action, mostly in private banks, and that does affect one part of our business, a new part of our business. So overall, a lot of confusion, but a lot of opportunity as long as we focus ourselves on that lot of opportunity in the education training business. We've always believed that education is counter-cyclical. Training, however, is not, but education is a counter-cyclical business. Training with a gap should also play the same path, and that's what we are seeing playing out. So in this context, the financial highlights of the quarter, our system-wide revenue is up 19% year-on-year, and all numbers I am referring to are year-on-year for the same reason that seasonality for to have a better understanding of the fundamentals and take account of seasonality and year-on-year comparison will be best. System-wide revenues are 19% up to 3898 million. Net revenues are 17% up to 2789 million. EBITDA is flat at 229 million. It's just 1 million more than last year, and it's at 8%. It's down 134 basis points. And one of the explanations of this is the full quarter that the new joint venture we have with Genpact, NIT Unica, had their first full quarter. So obviously they got very little revenue, but had lots of expenses, and that was planned, and we had talked about it in the last call as well. PAT, we have had the impact of two or three issues. First, before I say that, one more line on EBITDA, and that is that while we have had this extra expense in medium to long term, this would benefit us significantly since NIT Unica is meant to be a high growth venture. So it's more or less like an investment for the future. In profit after tax, we are at 55 million, and that is also impacted if we compare ourselves against the same period last year. Three components: one, the EBITDA, obviously not having having missed because of NIT Unica. Second, because of the depreciation, the higher depreciation we have because of new school projects which we added this year. And third, because of our associate company, NIT Technologies Limited, where we have 25% stake, they had a negative much lower PAT because of volatility, and we get to absorb the 25% impact of that, and that's the reason our share of profit from associates is reduced. So that kind of contributes to PAT. If one had added back these three, then our PAT growth would also have been fairly decent. Two out of these are non-cash entries, and I thought that is another thing which I should mention. NIT Unica has commenced operations and have clocked 10 million revenues during this quarter. I will talk a little more about that when I reach that part of the presentation. Overall, we did see positive traction in the individual learning solutions, IT solutions part of the business, where enrollments are up by 23%. In school learning solutions, we had an order intake of 249 million rupees. So once again, we won some government tenders as well, one government tender, and as well as a fair amount of success in the private school business. In corporate learning solutions, again, we had an order intake of $31.78 million in this slow and challenging environment. If you look at our overall financials, at and operating expense level, you would see actually a net decrease in fixed expenses. So if you did an analysis of our fixed and variable expenses, you would see a net decrease in our fixed expenses, which is despite the fact that we have a negative impact in expenses because of appreciating dollar. So if we take that impact out, then we have had a fairly strong reduction in expenses, and that's in line with the guidance we had given at the beginning of the quarter when we had said that the impending recession would require us to have three strategies, one of acceleration, second of prudence, and this is in line with that prudence strategy where we have an active cost control measures being executed in the company. Depreciation, as I mentioned earlier, was higher at $184 million compared to $127 same period last year. Essential increase because of new projects, new centers, new businesses, as well as a large amount coming out of the government schools business. In other income, just additional interest, which was to an extent balanced by some gains in foreign exchange. The appreciating dollar had some benefits in other income. Overall, the impact flows down to profit before tax, provision for tax, and then therefore share of profits from associates, which was also lower this quarter compared to the same period last year. And that kind of explains the PAT of 55 million rupees. To that 55 million PAT, if you were to do a like-to-like situation comparison, perhaps one would add a 34 million of share of profits from associates, one would write back the 60 million of depreciation, and one would add the 35 million of NIT Unica, and that would perhaps explain what happened to the part of the business which is in stable operations. In terms of, if we compare our performance versus the last year, we have a net increase of 410 in revenues. Most of it is contributed by ILS IT business, which is 152 million. Secondly, by SLS business, which is 157 million. Sorry, they were comparable. And CLS, which is 90 million. Others are small. In EBITDA, the single largest contributor to increase, for the flat EBITDA, first the increases were caused by ILS and SLS, and ILS FMT was at a flat level. New businesses contributed minus 35, and even the CLS business had a negative 22 million impact in EBITDA compared to the same period last year. In system-wide revenues, in terms of revenue mix, ILS IT grew 23%, FMT 4%, schools 74%, and corporate 7%. So ILS IT is now 51% of the total, schools 9%, corporate 38%, new businesses 0, and FMT 2%. So 51% of the business had a very, 60% of the overall business had a very robust growth year on year during the quarter. Corporate, which has been challenged for a while, also saw 7% growth, and FMT, which was actually having a very solid growth record, this quarter froze because of hiring freeze in the banking sector, and we'll talk more about it. Going forward, getting into details of each of the business, in individual learning solutions, IT, as I mentioned, top line grew 20%, and the margin was also at was at 19%. The software SWR geography mix was India 59%, China 21%, and the rest of the world 20%. So now you can see that China is becoming an important part, and the rest of the world put together, essentially led by Africa and Vietnam, are contributing, Africa's and Vietnam are contributing quite a bit to the overall size of the business. China's revenues have grown 71% year-on-year. In terms of enrollments across the world, overall growth in enrollments is 23%. Engineers within India, which is predominantly in India, grew 20%. Our job-focused short-term program that we launched in India and China have been accepted well. That's what has contributed to China and India's growth in a small way. Overall, in the 9 months, ILS IT revenues have grown 26% and the EBITDA has grown 34% over the same period last year. In the FMT space, we have had an interesting quarter in the sense that the staple product which was driving FMT business, which was for the banking series of products where we used to train retail bankers, had a massive degrowth because of the hiring freeze adopted initially by ICICI Bank, but now extended back to all other private banks. So in that environment, it was a test of their tenacity and response, and I think they rose very well to the fore by launching two very interesting project products. One, a program in personal finance, given the current bad situation of everybody's personal finances, and the second in a diploma program for college graduates to get into financial services. Both these have taken off. It's too early to say how successful they will be, but we see good traction. They could salvage a lot of that degrowth by growth in their management and other programs on one hand, corporate programs on the other, and then of course these new programs which will help in the future. In many ways, this business was in the eye of the storm, and given the fact that banking series was the most affected part of our business. We do believe that this situation will continue for a quarter or two more till the banking sector recovers, and they have a number of strategies in place to overcome the negatives that are happening in the current time. We do see that recovery should be initiated in later part of this year, when licenses for new bank branches which have been issued would expire and banks would be in a rush to add large number of people. Moving on to school learning solutions, a robust quarter for them with 74% growth in top line and 76 basis points improvement in EBITDA margin, primarily driven by GSA, which contributed 79% of revenue. However, non-GSA also grew 30% year-on-year. We launched some very interesting products which have been received very well in the marketplace. The eGuru Interactive Classroom product, the web and multimedia curriculum on Adobe Creative Suite, all this led to a fresh order intake of 249 million rupees, and we finished the quarter with a pending order book of 2.689 billion rupees, 33% of which is executable in the next 12 months. Total school service in this quarter increased by 3,000 or so over the same period last year. Overall, SLS revenue for this year have grown 39%. EBITDA has grown 53%. Moving on to corporate. In corporate, overall growth was 7% in top line. We did have a degrowth in EBITDA, and we will talk about that in a minute. But the degrowth in EBITDA was to the extent of 183 basis points. The positive in this business was the India revenues, which were growing at 29% on the back of continued spending by the government. We did face a lot of difficulties in our sales cycles with Indian IT and ITS companies, but the government orders made up for that and more. On the other hand, in the outsourcing part of our business, which is US and Europe, the training outsourcing and learning product revenues were strong at 12% YOY growth. However, we saw degrowth in custom custom learning solutions part of our business, a thought which we have, or a trend which we have shared with you in the past quarters as well. Given the recessionary trends in the market, the discretionary parts of people's budget just disappear. We saw a very difficult quarter in terms of actually November was the most difficult month of the quarter, because people were not willing to spend on their budgets because they had freezes, and towards the end there was a little bit of relief, but I think going forward also getting new budgets becoming a challenge, and training is considered one of those discretionary activities which can be done without in case it can be avoided. Our strategies have been very aggressive. We have aggressively pushed our learning products as well as training outsourcing part of the businesses. That strategy is yielding success on one hand, and on the other hand, we have also been looking at how we can grow the India revenues. how we can grow the India revenues faster. We added an order intake of $31.8 million. Our pending order book at the end of the quarter was at $81 million, which is up 24% YOY, of which 66% is executable in next 12 months. From a revenue terms, corporate learning solutions had grown faster than any other time during the year, and the CYD revenues have now grown 3%. And EBITDA we are still recovering from. So this is the part of the business where we are continuously looking at how we keep our cost structure low so that we can brace the impact of the recession and the longer sales cycles and the time it is taking to get new orders. Moving on to new businesses, we launched the NIT Genpact joint venture, which is called NIT Unica. It's being launched across 9 centers for a B2C product, and we have offered 7 different courses. This quarter bore the brunt of all the hiring of new people, their training, their settling down, as well as courseware development, as well as marketing and launch expenses on one hand. On the other, we also had a revenue coming out of our B2B side of the business, where we provided more than 900 hours of training to the Genpact employees. As you know, Genpact has outsourced a large part of their training activity, in-house training activity, to us. So that was the beginning of that, which generated some revenue for us. The interesting achievement, in this business has been the placement partnership that we have been able to build with leading players in the industry. So as we speak, we now have 6 partners: Genpact, HCL, Emphasis, WNS, 24/7, and Wipro, who are going to be hiring from NIT Unica. We see very interesting possibilities for this business as we go along. Of course, at this point of time, the industry itself is going through a little bit of challenge in terms of much lower attrition, and therefore a lower number of replacements, much lower growth, therefore less number of hires, but their need to get highly trained people who can get productive immediately continues to remain, and in fact has become higher. And we see that as an opportunity for us to create a unique niche for ourselves. Moving on to some financials of the balance sheet. In terms of our balance sheet, the cash generated from operations was minus $212 million in this quarter because of working capital absorption, given the large working capital government projects that we started implementing. Our fixed asset spend was $361 million. Our DSO was steady at 85 days of LTM revenues, the same that we had in September 08. Our overall debt is at 3412 million rupees now, which also includes a forex impact on dollar borrowings, which is a technical entry that we have to provide for. Our cash in hand was 630 million at the end of this quarter. Overall, in terms of headcount, we started the quarter at a headcount of 4,044 and ended the quarter at a headcount of 3,850, thus indicating an overall reduction of 194 people. This is in line with the policy of prudence that we followed. This is also in line with our statements that we would not be adding more centers this quarter overall, but we'd like to see if we can consolidate capacity across various businesses. And thirdly, obviously, out of making sure that we be selective in what kind of roles and positions do we want to replace as natural attrition happens. So all these things contributed to overall reduction. We added some people in the new joint venture, nearly 122 people. So that was the positive recruitment, and there was more in addition to that. I think I have covered all the data points that I thought were worth sharing. I would now like to open this call for Q&A, and given the fact that we started a little late, we will continue for as long as you would like us to, based on the questions you have. So, operator, may I request you to open it for Q&A, please?
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the Q&A interactive session. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. On pressing star 1, participants will get a chance to present their questions on a first-in-line basis. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. To ask a question, please press star 1 now. First in line, we have Mr. Sumit from Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead with the question.
Yeah. Hello, sir. This is Sumit Poddar here. First of all, I just had a question in terms of the new business that we have,
mm-hmm.
Unica.
Mm-hmm.
When do you expect it to kind of be EBITDA positive and making money as other businesses are making?
Okay. Typically, our experience with businesses of this kind is it's about 3 to 4 quarters before they become EBITDA neutral.
Okay. And what's the kind of investment that we have made in Unica as such?
Overall, at the beginning of the project, we had agreed on an investment of 20 crores for this project over a 3-year period.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have invested at this point of time about 6 crores.
6 crores only?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and on the corporate...
And remember, our contribution will be 75% of 6 crores because Genpact is 25% owner.
Sure. And given the fact that IT industry is also seeing the slower growth, how do you see this panning out for Unica?
Okay, the first quarter is concerned,
mm-hmm.
in terms of testing of the product in B2C mm-hmm. area, which is where we have to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
We did see the impact of the following three things. One, it is itself a slow quarter. Second, it is a slower quarter because of the slower recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw a lot of interest in youngsters to get formally trained in case they could get themselves a good job, because now people are able to differentiate between a in quotes, a good company and a not so good company. So we see an interest in the product. However, we do see that the impact of this will mean a slower offtake,
mm-hmm.
but that may just delay the ramp up by a quarter or so. But we do see interest and ramping up.
Okay. And on the corporate learning side, what would have been the impact of foreign currency to our business as such?
Foreign currency would have benefited our business.
Mm-hmm.
So,
by how much as such?
Yeah. So the overall benefit of foreign currency to this business would have been of the order of about, if we see on a YOY basis,
mm-hmm.
It would be to the tune of 270 million rupees.
Okay, that's what has been added because of the foreign currency.
Yes, in the revenue.
In the revenue, okay.
Yeah.
And how about the EBITDA impact?
EBITDA impact will be small because we have a lot of forex expenses also.
Right.
So I would say somewhere like 28, 29.
Okay, 28, 29 million rupees.
Yeah.
Okay. And
because about 10% of our expenses are...
Sure, sure. And what's the outlook overall? I mean, given the fact that custom learning solutions are on a decline as such.
Yeah. So the first thing is we had in the beginning of the year given an outlook
mm-hmm.
to which many things went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The business went slower. The currency went the rupee currency became stronger.
Right.
And now that the dollar currency is stronger
mm-hmm.
and the business continues to remain slow, but the net effect of all this is still a positive growth, we do see that we will maintain this momentum and perhaps improve upon it next quarter.
Okay. Okay. And we saw a huge uptick in depreciation. If you could, I mean, elaborate more on it, like which businesses have actually contributed to the increase in depreciation?
Yeah. So one, any last year, if you know, we were investing in the FMT part of the business, which would have added to more depreciation if I compare it to the last same period last year.
Right.
Second, the single largest part
mm-hmm.
will be the schools, new projects. As you know, we got 2,005 schools in Andhra Pradesh,
mm-hmm.
then we got 500 schools in Maharashtra. And we got 400 odd schools in Bihar as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, the schools would be the larger part as well.
Yeah, yeah. They would
because
be the larger
even
part.
Sequentially, our depreciation has gone up by almost, 40
yeah.
million rupees.
Yeah, 38 million rupees. The,
right.
The sequential is very easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
There would be a forex impact of the depreciation of assets which are in dollars, which will be about $7 to $8 million.
Okay.
There would be an impact. There would be 7 to 8 million rupees. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There would be our Andhra project, which was partly executed in last quarter and is fully executed this quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They would have an additional depreciation of 22 million rupees. Schools,
mm-hmm.
Andhra and the other projects put together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would have had capitalization of other assets. I mean. Other capex, which would have got in, which was 9 million rupees.
Okay, okay. That's great. I had further questions. I'll join in the queue as such.
Most certainly. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir. I request the participants to ask two questions at the initial round and then come back for the follow-up question. Next in line, we have Ms. Vidya from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Vidya here. Just wanted to check, what is your capacity utilization in the ILS IT training segment, please?
46%.
Right. We have added centers here both in India and abroad. What is the rationale for that? Because I recall in the earlier conversations that we had, we were talking about going slow on the expansion front.
Yeah. Two issues. One, there are some activities in motion and there are unaddressed parts of the market which we would like to address. And the second is that all these are franchise centers where our risk levels are much.
So is this a change from our earlier strategy of improving capacity utilization across the centers for ILS?
No, it is in line with that same strategy. At the same time, it is in this time of the year, if you see, we have had an overall growth in revenue. We have had an improvement in operating profit and operating margin. So the purpose of improving capacity utilization was to improve the operating profit and operating margin, and we are able to do that as well.
Right. What was the addition in the private school space this time?
The number of schools.
Yeah.
What are the number of schools added? I'll just give it to you. 22. In this quarter, new schools which started billing were 22.
And we were looking at a target of 400 for the full year, right?
We were looking at an overall target for the full year. of which we have now done till the end of the quarter nearly 200 plus.
Okay.
Or so 172, I think, 172.
Right. So will that mean that we will not be able to meet the full year target that we were looking at earlier?
Actually, what has happened is our realization per school has improved quite substantially, if you can see. So the benefit that we are getting because of that is helping us a lot. Given the next quarter and the two quarters, it is possible that we would be able to make up that number. But it's difficult to say. We have to see as we go along.
I'm sorry. You're saying that you're still maintaining your 400 number for the full year?
No. 400 was an indicative number. So I must point out that because it's a 400 school equivalent given a current revenue size. But as I mentioned, our realizations have improved.
Right.
Okay. So
what is the indicative number that we are looking at for the full year now?
And in the next quarter, I can share with you in a few minutes, if you would give me a few minutes.
Right. And I'd also like to understand what the strategy here is. Are we going to planning to go slow on the addition and focus on better realizations, or are we looking at faster penetration here?
No, I think we are looking at both. Our aim will obviously be to get both volume and higher realization. And the good news is that the product launches we had during the quarter, which were in the space of math lab and the science lab, these are very sophisticated products and give us much better margins. And we did see the smaller number of large schools getting more interested in them. So that is why when I say realization per school is important, it's also the size of the school which comes in.
Right. Just a couple of more questions. On the corporate learning front, if you were to look at a dollar basis,
yes.
We are actually looking at about a 15% decline year over year. Is that right?
10%. It will be 10% decline year on year if you look at dollar terms.
What would be the dollar number in December 07 versus December 08?
One moment. I will tell you it will be 28.73 million.
Right.
Is this quarter, and 32 million was last quarter.
Sure. And on the new businesses front, which is ex-Unica, Imperia, and IFBI, we've seen a shift.
One moment. I need to correct you also.
Yeah.
That is just the US part of the business. The India part of the business, if converted into dollars, would give a further reduction. So I can tell you that we had 32 million in the US part of the business last year,
right.
And 85 million rupees in this in the India side of the business. We have 28.3 in the US part of the business, and we have 117 million rupees in the India side of the business. So if you take the impact of all that, the volume growth, degrowth will come to, I think, 9.4 or some percent.
Fair enough. And you expect a similar decline in the U.S. in the next quarter as well, given that the U.S. has gone from bad to worse over the last few quarters?
It is very difficult to comment on that, but given whatever we saw in October, November, December, and whatever, especially November, most of the people believe that situation would be very different from JFM onwards. Definitely much better as we go going forward. However, it's difficult to say.
Right. As I was saying, your new business X, if you were to look at it, X Unica, which is IFPI and Imperia.
Yes.
They've also reported a sequential dip, year-over-year dip as well, about 77 million rupees.
That's not a dip, it's a flat.
That's that, yeah. We were earlier looking. What are the expectations from this business going forward? Is that?
Yeah. So I want to go back to the first quarter where we grew 101%, 105%. By second quarter we were at 35%, and by third quarter we are at flat. And the single contributor to this is the freeze in hiring in the banking sector. It started by slower hiring by ICICI. As you know, if you plot the last 9 months, In September, it had become slower hiring, and we had still commitments from many of the banks. In fact, I would say the whole variety of private banks. But in the third quarter, in third quarter, which is OND, there has been a total freeze on hiring. So if there is a freeze on hiring, that part of the business just does not have any teeth to survive. So they had a negative growth, and that negative growth was compensated by new products. And maybe I'll ask Dr. Day to say more on the new products as well as his strategy.
Yeah, hi. So on the flagship part of the business, which contributed about two-thirds of the revenue the previous year, is the area where we were most seriously impacted, and we had a degrowth of about 23%. And we compensated that by first the other parts of the business, which include the management series programs on core banking solutions and so on that we run, which part actually grew. And then more important, and as you know, in quarter two, we had launched a MAS product, which was a personal finance product. And this quarter, we addressed the college segment with longer duration programs, which are diploma programs. And it's these two new introductions have added about 5% of the revenue. One part of your question was about sequential dip. As you know, this is a seasonal business, and traditionally our quarter three has been weak. So the sequential dip is in line with what has been in the past. We expect that in the coming quarter, we should be able to achieve revenues of around 100 million, and therefore it will be higher than what we have achieved this time. And going forward, we expect that the diploma programs for college graduates will pick up much more as the college enrollment season picks up. And a little later, we expect that the banking series programs will come back as the hiring picks up there.
Thanks. I'm aware I'm hogging the time space.
No, but
one last question. You said that Unica would probably take about 3-4 quarters to break even. So you expect the quantum of losses to remain more or less at current levels over the next 3-4 quarters?
No, they taper down as the experience has shown us.
Right.
However, I wanted to correct one more impression. You mentioned about our talking about 400 schools, private schools. So I was trying to get back to that statistic since I told you so. First of all, I think the 400 number that you are referring to is perhaps a meeting, the roadshow that we had in Bombay at the end of quarter two, when at Churchgate, and when I think maybe you or somebody else had asked me this question. And I had referred that to the eGuru launch, which we were doing that time, and I had mentioned that we expect to add 400 schools in the next 1 year. So first of all, that 400 schools was meant for that 1 year from then, as far as my explanation and understanding is concerned. Second, as far as this year is concerned, we have added 172 private schools so far. We have had better realization than what we had planned, so therefore we feel we are in fact a little ahead. As you know, our guidance for school was 40-odd% growth. We are at 73%. And I think over the 9 months, we are well beyond 50%. So that's what I meant by saying we have better realization. In the next quarter, we do see the momentum of adding new schools building up. So at a run rate level of, if we had to achieve a 400 per year run rate in this year, then we'll be well beyond the 400 level run rate per year for in the coming quarter.
Right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Next in line, we have Mr. Ankur Rudra from Noble. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, gentlemen. Just on the demand side for ILS, could you remind us which companies tend to hire mainly from the GNIIT and the engineer programs? As I understand, you alluded to TCS and Infosys at the beginning of the call. And as I understand, these companies tend to hire directly from colleges, A. And the second part of the question would be, when do you expect the current hiring freeze in the rest of the universe to impact your enrollment growth?
Okay, we'll answer both the question. Mr. Raghavan will do that.
Okay, hi. Our graduates get placed in a wide variety of companies, the top companies whose names you mentioned included. However, the numbers that we currently place in these large companies is not in absolute sense significant, although it's growing at significant level. Our graduates get placed in a broad listing of companies, the top 5, the next 15, and the remaining companies, both in pure IT industry as well as IT support and MIS kind of functions and business analytics kind of functions. So it's a very wide basis of customer base for us.
Having said that, let me add to Raghu's comment. The number of students we will place in a TCS or Infosys will be more than what any other engineering college would be placing.
And I think the second part of the question was, when do you expect the current hiring freeze, exclusive of TCS and Infosys hiring plans, to impact the enrollment growth over the next few quarters?
Okay, so first of all, the current, I think there is a hypothesis, let me put it in those words, which we believe in and we are seeing it roll out, is first of all, the hiring freeze has lesser correlation to the number of people who will get trained. The number of students graduating and not getting jobs has a higher correlation to the number of students who will get trained. I think it stands to reason that if you could earlier get a job without training, then you would bank on the employer providing with that training. Now, if the employer is more selective, it is better that you train yourself and be in line for a better job. And that's very visible in the growth that we see in engineer enrollment. What you are mentioning could happen if suddenly people lost faith in this sector, or this sector became, in quotes, tainted for social reasons or any other reasons. In such a case, it is quite likely. For example, the number of people training themselves to do an MBA have not reduced, in fact have increased, even though the community of investment bankers or bankers, which is what the dream job of most of the MBAs was, may exist, may not exist, or may change as the case may be. So I think overall the sector is very robust. It has positive growth. There is a shortage of trained people across the world. TCS, Infosys are now talking of 120,000 people to be recruited between them. They may not hire directly from us, all the 120,000, or for that matter, a very large chunk of that, but it is certain that they will hire them from somewhere. And when they hire them from somewhere, they would prefer an experienced person, and that will create a vacancy for an experienced person or a new person to fill their slot. So there are a number of ways this system works. Having said that, let me again go back to Raghu, and he wants to add a word.
Yeah, I think when large companies tend to go lower for the campuses, we end up being the preferred hunting ground, because they can get people just in time with minimal bench stay in the companies. Second thing is, if you look at the number of engineers enrollment as an indicator, it's grown 20% in the last quarter. Second is the 99 days, get job ready in 99 days diploma program that we launched last quarter has been met with a great amount of enthusiasm and success, and we did enroll as many as we planned to do. These are extremely early days for the program, but it has the makings of a great and a significant product portfolio going forward.
Enrollments between short-term and long-term courses?
Sorry, beg your pardon?
Could you break up the enrollments between short-term and long-term courses for the quarter?
Raghu?
Basically, the composition of short-term courses has gone up to something like 80% compared to 76% same quarter last year.
Okay. Just finally on the redundancies carried out in the business in the quarter, was this limited to the U.S. Training outsourcing division, or was it also across the board? and what should we expect going forward? And also the ramp of the growth we saw on the sales and marketing headcounts, was this also around only the Unica business or also other parts?
Okay. Two ways by which I would like to respond. First of all, we made we talked about it last quarter that we have to look at the current times with an eye of prudence, and we are therefore looking at any and every possibility by which we can improve the productivity of the enterprise. To do that, we are restructuring ourselves, we are combining functions, we are combining centers, we are reducing costs, and within that, it is possible that there are redundancies, so the bottom of the pile is not replaced when there is an attrition or redundant roles are not replaced. We would continue with this exercise as long as we can continue to improve our productivity at the revenue levels at which we are growing. And we would, and we have the luxury to have just-in-time recruitment, given the fact that we have on any given day 1,500 managers studying with us, 2,000 bankers studying with us, or 4,000 bankers studying with us, 15,000 working IT professionals studying with us. So we can align ourselves to just-in-time recruitment. The first part of your question was it in any one function or across the board? It was across the board. A lot of it in the corporate learning solutions, where, as we have mentioned before, custom content development or custom learning solutions is a part which is very people-intensive and is degrowing.
Okay. Second part was on the sales and marketing growth. Was again similarly on one function or across?
Yeah. So there are a few functions on which there is a special thrust. Unica obviously is a new function, so you need new sales and marketing people. Our NIIT eGuru offering, we created a new set of field force and are expanding that very, very fast because the product has been very well accepted and we are wanting to accelerate as quickly as we can. And third would be basically generally in line with the requirements of each business.
Just specifically on eGuru, what's the current, could you share the current sales headcount there?
We have the current set. Yeah. No. eGuru. We'll tell you. Okay. We'll tell you in a short while. Maybe in between, I'll just interrupt and tell you.
No problem. I'll join back the queue. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Vishal Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. This is Surendra here.
Hi, Surendra.
Yeah, hi. Okay, on the individual learning solution side, how do margins for India and non-India businesses compare?
I would not have that breakup because at the back end, the two businesses are integrated. So at a gross margin level, perhaps it may be easier to work out. But we don't measure at that level. We measure at the EBITDA level across the ILS function.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. Again, for the India individual learning business, how much of your total cost in the third quarter would be fixed?
How much would be fixed? I would say about 65%.
Okay.
Of the revenue. No, hold on. No, then there's... of the cost, yes, 65%.
Okay. And also, could you talk about trends in GNIIT or the longer-term training courses in terms of enrollments, dropout rates, pricing discounts, or any other thing which you think is important?
Raghul.
Okay. overall enrollment growth, you heard 23% globally and 18% for India. I also mentioned about between short-term courses and long-term courses, there is a preference for short-term courses. It's about 80% this quarter compared to the same quarter last year. And if you look at some of the specific product categories, engineers has grown at 20%. And you might remember that we have made a decisive entry into the networking space under the Global NetPlus product category. We have grown pretty nicely in that group as well. In this last quarter, enrollments were about 109%. And on a CYD basis, we are at about 67% in terms of enrollment growth. So that business is going on well, as we actually expected. This is an important space that we are occupying. As far as JNIT specifically to your question, JNIT, this is not exactly a season for us to really consider JNIT as an important product. However, what we do at this point of time is to actually talk to the students who are in the centers already doing a lower level of the JNIT, like the, let's say for 6 months or 1 year only, and we talk to them about upgrading. And during this quarter, we had the phenomenal success in the upgrading of the existing students to higher levels, for some of them all the way up to the full JNIT. So it's been pretty good. So if you look at overall, it's been kind of flat. If you look at the overall performance on the JNIT enrollments year over year, if you include both the years, the upgrades that we do and so on. You asked me a question about pricing. We haven't made any changes in the fee structure lately, but we are at the very, very tail end of the fee changes that we made a couple of years back, and last year sometime we had made some rationalization for the engineers product module. So that is where we are. And dropout rates, you asked, there has not been any significant change in the dropout rates in the recent past or on a comparative basis. And like I said, there is in fact existing students within the within our system, particularly the JNIT part, JNIT students, there is a greater eagerness for them to go ahead and complete all the way to their full JNIT. So these are the trends I can share with you.
Sure. One last question for Vijay. How much is the cash flow generated from operations and the CAPEX figure for the first 9 months of this year?
CAPEX for first 9 months of the year and capital generated from operations also 9 months of the year?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'll get back to you. Meanwhile, I have answered to one more question. Somebody had asked what are the total number of sales people engaged in the school learning solution. It is 120. Okay, let's move on to the next question.
Thank you very much, sir. I request the participants to ask one or two questions at the initial round and then come back for the follow-up question. Next in line, we have Mr. Sunal from AIM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Thadani. Couple of questions. Firstly, on your employee side, you mentioned that you have reduced the total headcount. Could you mention why and why decline or increase in employee costs and also Q on Q at the consolidated level?
Why or why decrease in employee cost as well as Q and Q? Do you have it? Yeah, right away. I don't think that's a data element we have shared in the past.
You know, you'll appreciate that, you know, your employee cost is the biggest, segment. So for us to be able to analyze what is...
Yeah, all I said was we haven't shared this in the past, so I don't have it with me right away. I'm sure we monitor that. So maybe I can revert back to you. Perhaps it will not be just now.
But would it be a increase or a decline, Y on Y? Would you have some sense on that?
It is definitely a decline Y on Y.
And, as far as the manpower rationalization has happened, it's happened at which part of the business? Is it individual? Is it corporate? Is it institutional?
It is, let me say, it will be lowest in schools. We would have added people in UNICA. We would have had reductions in CLS predominantly.
Okay. And on your marketing and advertising spend in the individual business, could you throw some light whether that's where the growth was, whether you cut the expenditure there or the growth was higher than, the sales increase?
In the third quarter, it's a very low spend quarter for marketing in any case.
No, what I meant was on Y and Y, so it will be fairly comparable.
Whether we saved money on marketing?
Yeah, as a percentage of your, sales increase in individual business.
So now this today you have very intricate questions. I have to check. Percentage marketing of sales in individual. Okay. We'll give you the answer.
On depreciation, you mentioned that your Andhra order led to an increase in depreciation of 22 million.
Between the two quarters.
Yeah. While the profit growth would be what, in that business? on Q-on-Q, what is the growth in the institutional
Andhra's
profit?
Revenue would be for the same quarter would
yeah,
be 84 million approximately.
So what would be the increase Q-on-Q in the institutional business in terms
no,
of
no, so that's why I'm saying the Andhra business increase Q-on-Q would be, I mean, because of this will be 84 million.
84 million.
Yeah. I'm going by the simple logic of the fact that the capex is typically in this case 25% or so.
Because you know, if I look at Y on Y numbers, your depreciation increase has been 2.2 crores, while the profit increase in this business has been only 2.5 crores. So I am at loss to understand whether it's the private side of the business which has made a loss in this quarter, or what is it that the depreciation is disproportionate to the increase in profits?
We are discussing the increase in quarter on quarter. You are referring to quarter on quarter?
Yeah, even if you look at Y on Y, you know, it will give you some sense.
But Y on Y, that business didn't exist. Andhra order was not there last quarter. I mean, last year, sorry.
Okay.
So I have a feeling we have to add up different parameters to do the measurement.
Okay.
Maybe you would like to sit with us and we can explain you in detail or discuss whichever way you would like to. Or if there are questions, then I can answer them.
On, you know, you also mentioned about some depreciation due to, the currency movement leading to higher depreciation. Could you throw some more light on that? And also,
if you own assets in dollars, then the depreciation of those, when you consolidate accounts, the depreciation has to get the impact of dollar increase or decrease. So between the two quarters, the dollar increased by 6 rupees, 43.20 to 49.20. So that depreciation would have got multiplied by 6 rupees, and the depreciation multiplied by 6 rupees was 7 million rupees impact in this quarter's depreciation.
Okay.
Because we have that as a separate line item, that's why I have it readily available.
And you would have a corresponding increase in your liability side by, you know, because of the fact that you have also have a you know, foreign currency loan and...
Yes.
Okay. On the and there's also been a 9 million depreciation increase in
other assets.
Which part of the business would this be?
All over the place. It would mostly be, let's say, if Unica centers, there would have been a capitalization which would have been there. There would be some new products which have been launched. Their capitalization would have been there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you also throw some light on your interest cost and other income for this quarter? And
yeah, our other income is minus 36 million this quarter. Net other income, I can give you a breakup of that. Where are we? Okay. Net interest expenses were 62 million. Difference in exchange positive was 20.9. Other non-operating income 5.
Okay, what would be the debt and cash on the books?
I had shared the 3,412 million debt on the books, which is recast in line with the new dollar, and that was one of your questions in between.
And the cash on the books?
Yeah, 630.
Also on your, could you throw some light on what has been your growth in India net revenue in the individual side of the business?
India net revenue, we have the cut available right now. It would be of the same range.
Because your China has grown by 70%.
Yes.
And your overall growth is 20, so I suspect it would be, you know, a much lower number, or?
It would be, yes, it is, in fact, let me just take the breakup. So the India growth in revenues this quarter is 11%, China is 70%, the rest of the world is...
This is system-wide or net revenue in India?
This is net.
Okay. And going forward, you know, what kind of growth we expect in China and whether this is some one-off growth or how to read this number?
I think the way to read China growth is because China is very instance and event-driven. So best is to look at China growth in and across the year, because there will be quarters when they have admission cycles when some decision gets taken or we get a new provincial government.
Okay.
But they typically have two admission cycles, March and September. However, many times the March admission cycle enrollments we get in April. So if I tell you it will be in JFM, you will find it in AMJ some days. On the other hand, sometimes, so therefore, if we aggregate it over a period of time, these things go away.
Okay. Considering that, you know, your India revenue growth is only 11%, what to expect going forward in the individual business? Or was there something one-off or, you know, holidays or something which has impacted your growth? And
you no, so you must know that in India, we did not even get full production days to deliver. In OND this year, we had the maximum number of disruptions. Bombay was closed twice for a few days. Chennai was closed because of flood. Assam, Guwahati, which is a large center, was closed for some other activities. And Delhi for some other activities, assembly polls somewhere. So this also depends on the number of production days we get. I think in overall enrollment growth and stuff like that, those are pointers to a consistent revenue.
Okay. Lastly, coming back to the depreciation numbers which we were discussing.
Yes.
If I look at Y on Y, you know, on school learning revenues, your EBITDA is up 25 million.
Yes.
While overall your depreciation is up, you know, 55 million. And
yes,
I would presume a significant portion even Y on Y would have happened because of the institutional business.
No, not necessarily. As I mentioned, at that time, last year, same time, FMT was in the process of investing. We were launching new products in Element K, and there were a number of things. In fact, at that time, we did not have too many boot projects. So the boot projects, most of the boot projects that we got were in this year. So the impact of depreciation, we can work out between year to year, but my aim is that it would tally with that same principle.
Okay.
Let me see, I can perhaps even figure that out for you. Yeah, last year in SLS, we had a revenue of 213 and EBITDA of 30. So if you see the revenue increase over the year, we have now this quarter a revenue of 370. And
right,
margin is only 55. So a large part is coming from depreciation to be contributed to that.
Okay. Lastly, on, you know, any thoughts in how to increase shareholder value, any corporate structuring or any measures which you think could lead to enhancement of the capitalization?
So first of all, I want to assure you that we worry about shareholder value 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we are always looking for ways and means to increase shareholder value. Second, yes, we are looking at various opportunities. Times are very volatile. One has to be careful in taking steps which do not become irreversible. So all those that you mentioned and more are continuously under discussion. And as soon as there is something which we can share with you, we will share with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sonal.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Ruchi from Pioneer Invest. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just a couple of questions
yes,
on the CLS business. I was wondering if you'd given the breakup for the training, outsourcing, and custom projects as percent of revenue as of this quarter.
Just a moment. I'll just pull it out if I have. Ashish, you can share.
Okay, you're wanting specifically the training outsourcing revenue, right?
No, training outsourcing and learning products.
Okay. So the increase in revenue of training outsourcing and learning products on a YOY basis
12%.
would be about 12%.
Now, I was wondering what is the contribution to of training outsourcing currently to your
to
overall
total.
CLS revenue?
He wants the contribution to total.
Okay. So that would be around 30%.
Alright. And also if you can touch upon your quarter-on-quarter growth rates for the CLS business, it's been 1% growth rate. I was wondering if you can talk about what is the quarter-on-quarter growth rate for training outsourcing over Q2?
Yeah, so as we've been sharing in the past as well, both on training outsourcing as well as on learning products, there has been continuous growth in the business. The numbers haven't been, they've been typically in the region of 20 to 25% YOY over the last three or four quarters. So both of these are doing reasonably well. Where we have a little bit of challenges in the custom business, the custom content business specifically, which is extremely soft given the fact that the spending is mostly discretionary.
Okay, fine. And
excuse me, I don't want to interrupt you, but we just got a call from the operator that
sure.
There are 8 people waiting in the
so
queue,
and
we are already
online, yeah.
75 minutes in the call.
Yes.
So I was just thinking if it's okay with you, we can set up a separate time with you or get back to you on email.
Yeah, sure, no problem at all. Thank you.
Yeah, and may I request everybody, we are available to you for as long as you would like us to. However, I just to keep the overall time in control, may I request that each of the 8 at least get to ask one question each, and then we can perhaps schedule another call or do something else in case if we need to. So, operator, could you please help us with that?
Sure, sir. Thank you very much. Next in line, we have Mr. Pawan from Deepan Mehta. Please go ahead.
Sir, there has been a sharp increase in your development, production and execution expenses. Could you please throw some light on that?
So, first of all, I have a feeling you are picking up these numbers from the standalone.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. So my recommendation would be that the consolidated accounts give a better understanding. However, just to answer on standalone itself, product mix and a large schools orders that we are executing would be responsible for this.
So product mix and the large school orders, right?
Yeah. See, there is a larger product mix where development and production efforts are required, and the fact that schools contribute a large part of that.
Okay. And so can you please quantify the enrollments for your IT aptitude exam conducted recently?
I do not have them, but the last I counted the applicants, it was in excess of 110,000.
Sir, and what was it last year?
123,000
enrollments. We don't have applications, I'm sorry.
Sir, what was it last year?
What was the number?
142,000. But there is a little change in the character of the applicant this year versus last year. The character is that this time around everybody has paid the entrance fees, the sitting fees. Last time they were very liberal, and many of the colleges which were open requested us, and then we let a lot of youngsters take the test. But this time around every one of them has been a serious applicant.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
Thank you very much, sir. Next in line, we have Mr. Yogesh from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Sir, my first question is, what is the CapEx for the ICT in the quarter?
CapEx for?
ICT, that school learning.
School learning, 162 million.
162 million.
Yeah.
Sir, and second question was the why it is showing in the individual learning business, why in the absolute term our cost has dropped quarter on quarter around some 250 million?
That is the overall, as I mentioned, restructuring, consolidation, cost control exercise, as well as control on discretionary expenses.
Sir, can you bit explain about the levers in the individual learning business, because we thought the majority of the cost are the fixed cost, and employee cost and content cost form the major part of the business.
Okay. Raghu, you want to do it?
See, first of all, the margin, I mean, what you're asking is really the margin drivers in the business, correct?
Right.
Okay, basically the enrollment growth, the volumes going up creates opportunity for improved margins.
Mm-hmm.
Second is improved capacity utilization on a steady state basis. Even though this last quarter we have been kind of flat vis-a-vis the previous year, the truth is that we have posted improvements in capacity utilization. And when we look at the whole year, we are looking at a couple of percentage points improvement in the capacity utilization.
Mm-hmm.
Third is some of the international businesses have come at margin levels better than the rest of the businesses. And definitely there has been an active containment of expenses, both towards people productivity and marketing spend productivity. You might see us use the web and mobility a lot more than we've used in the past. So these things have contributed to the productivity of costs and thereby drive margins. That's why you'll find that even though the capacity utilization is static at 46, you'll find about 106 basis points improvement in the margins.
Yeah, the second thing which I thought I should interrupt and mention here, I think you're doing a QOQ comparison, whereas a YOY comparison is more appropriate. But all the arguments that we gave you are valid for YOY.
But in absolute term, why the cost is falling? I was trying to gauge at that thing.
Yeah, so we answered you that question.
Marketing?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go on. I'm sorry, I'm trying to make sure that everybody gets a chance because everybody's been on the call for a while.
Yes, sir. Last thing on the just e-guru business. What is the status of that business? How many schools we have added? And the capex required for schools?
Okay. The status of the business is we have a very good response. We have had large number of interesting schools which are interested in it. We have been able to close a few orders. We added 22 new schools during the quarter. Typically, there should be no capex involved in implementing an eGuru program, but in case the school would like us to, then we have a way by which we could do that. But our aim is to supply the content and the services as well as, content and services and not focus on the hardware side as much.
Sir, but last time we visited your company, you were very much intent that Kapil and Mr. Vijay Kumar, we will be providing the hardware on the lease and we will be shifting our overall business model from just being a content provider to the hardware on the lease plus content.
Yeah. I think what we are understanding, you are absolutely right that if a school would like us to provide,
mm-hmm.
include the hardware we would like to provide, but
okay.
it is better margin for us if the school has their own hardware because we are actually looking for a more profitable side of the business.
Okay, and what is the response for the of these 22 schools? How many were with the hardware and how many without hardware?
I would not have that detail. And most of them were MATLAB, where, by the way, we provide the whole MATLAB. I mean,
okay.
including the tiles on the floor.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Thank you
very much. Next in line, we have Ms. Subhashini from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I just had a couple of questions. Firstly, I just wanted to know why is the tax rate so high in this quarter and what is the expectation for FY09?
Okay. Tax rate has only FPT
okay.
at this time.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we had given you a guidance, if I'm not mistaken, of tax rate being 14% to 16%.
It was actually 12% to 15%.
12% to 15%, okay. Exactly. 12% to 15% in the same range. And perhaps that's where we would end up being. And why are you saying tax rate is so high, it is only 6?
I was just looking at it as a percentage of PBT. If it's FPT...
No, it's percentage of PBT doesn't make, because...
Yeah.
That much we would have got the depreciation. You saw such a huge depreciation upstairs.
Right.
So it's only FPT.
Right. Just one more question. During the call, you had mentioned that ICT had a capex of 162 million. Is that the right figure which I heard?
Yeah, I said the Andhra Pradesh tender, in this quarter, we had a capex of 162 million.
The Andhra Pradesh schools, I mean, would not be shown in the number of school centers being serviced.
They would
be shown. Okay,
would.
So we have actually added in that case 38 centers in government schools.
No. we added 22 centers.
In the non-GSA side?
In the non-GSA.
On GSA, we have added 38.
Okay.
So if I just work back with the 162 million which you have given, that actually throws up a very high capex figure of around 4.2 million.
162 is not for 38 schools.
Uh-huh.
The school becomes a part of, as soon as we start providing a service, which means as soon as the first person reaches,
mm-hmm.
the hardware may reach 1 month after that.
Mm-hmm.
So from the day we start providing the service, I think we started implementing the order in last quarter.
Shouldn't the capex have come in the last quarter in that case?
Only when the capex happens will the capex happen. You book it only when it is installed, commissioned, and it starts producing.
Which is what you said that last quarter you actually started booking the revenues and started.
Yes. So the last quarter's capex was linked to last quarter, and this quarter's capex is linked to this quarter.
So how many schools is this 162 million related to?
It will be difficult to say how many schools. It will depend on the number of items. Because many times all the inverters land up simultaneously, all the UPSs land up simultaneously for all the schools, for 50% of schools, for as many number of schools. So it's not that for each school there is a kit.
Okay.
But overall, I can tell you for the project, overall for the project, the total capex is 55 crores.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of which we have now finished all. By the way, now the whole project is implemented, so all the 55 crores are spent.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Next in line, we have Mr. Raj from Helix. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. The first question which I have is a number, which is, what's the domestic seat year number for this quarter, at the end of the quarter?
Sorry, domestic?
Seat years, the number which you shared before.
Seat years, oh, okay. It is 200 and, one moment, I have it right here. It's not 204,862.
So, on the domestic side of the business, in the ILS segment.
Yes.
If there was, you know, less interruptions, as you mentioned, in this quarter, what is the growth rate you were expecting, you would have expected, and what should we take the growth rate going forward? That's number one. And number two is, are you facing any pressure from the franchisees, you know, in terms of, you know, the revenues, the slowdown in revenues in the ILS segment?
Okay. Let me ask Raghu to respond, maybe second question first.
Okay. There has not been any. There has not been any issues with respect to franchises. They are all continuing with the businesses. As you know, the volume since the last few years has grown up substantially. So they have a lot of meat to chew at this point of time. So there's not been an issue. And your question about what should we expect? I think we are looking at between 22 and 24%. We expect to end the year with between 22 to 24% of ILS revenue growth.
Can you share us what will be the EBITDA margin for the own centers?
We haven't traditionally shared that because it's a lot of goes ins and goes outs. We share the overall numbers at this point of time.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, we have a follow-up question from Mr. Sumit of Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. This was regarding the margin. Overall margin, what's the outlook now? I mean, going forward.
We are, as you know, this quarter has been, we have had a margin degrowth in a certain sense.
Mm-hmm.
But for the year, we would still like to maintain an improvement in the overall margin.
Okay. So, I mean, we would be able to improve from here on. That's what is our goal.
No, we would like to improve over what we did last year. What we would
for the full year, you mean to say?
Sorry?
For the full year.
For the full year, yeah.
Okay, okay. Right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we have a follow-up question from Mr. Ankur Rudra of Noble. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a follow-up on the new business. Could you highlight, A, the current enrollments in the Unica business, and B, what sort of enrollments you would need for this to break even? I know you highlighted it will take about 4 odd quarters, but just to bring this business, A, on a EBITDA neutral stage and EBITDA margin level maybe of the ILS IT business, how much should the enrollment scale by?
Okay. The number of B2C enrollments currently, Ashish is a little far away, so I'll go ahead and answer. Is about 100. So it's a rounding off error. But I think what is important is that it is greater than zero, and we have 100 interested students who are whose careers we will make. So that's just a starting point. If your question is how many enrollments it will take, my feeling is that this business will break even at a revenue level of about
3,000 a quarter.
Yeah. About 3,000 a quarter.
That's revenue level or enrollments?
Number of students.
Okay. Which would mean at the current, I think current centers are about 9 odd centers, about...
No, the centers would increase because we would add, 9 are our own centers, we would add franchises and others. The idea was to first stabilize the product in off season,
mm-hmm,
and then go for a massive growth in the season.
All right, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Next, the final follow-up question comes from Mr. Sunal of AIM Capital. Please go ahead.
Mr. Tanani, two questions. Firstly, on the on further levers to cut cost, are there any further levers, especially on the corporate side, or you've already during the quarter been able to reduce cost to the extent it was possible?
Well, there was work in progress which would spill over into this quarter, so you would not have seen the impact of the full quarter last year. So to that extent, you would benefit. Well, I mean, we would benefit, and therefore you would benefit. The second question is, it would also be dependent on how the situation presents itself in this quarter. As you know, most of the kind IT companies, in our case, we are waiting for all the companies with a bated breath to come up with their budgets and release their budgets for their people to start spending. And we are already on 20th of the month, and not too much of that has started happening in US.
Okay. And on your outlook on margins, in this business, what kind of outlook would you have now on the corporate side of the business?
See, in a volatile environment, I must admit the environment is much more volatile than we thought it would be, and it has turned out to be much more volatile in the last 3 months, and I'm sure you will agree with me on that. So I have maintained, and we would like to be optimistic, that we would like to have a sub 5% margin, and that's what our aim and goal is.
Okay, coming to the school business, we were discussing Q on Q numbers. I have the numbers with me. The school side of the business saw revenues growing Q on Q from 32 million to 37 million.
Yes.
Which is an increase of 5 million.
50 million.
While the EBITDA grew 110 million, right?
Yes.
Corresponding to this 110 million increase in EBITDA, we saw, 11 million increase in EBITDA.
Yes.
We saw a 22 million increase in depreciation.
Yes.
Which implies an EBIT degrowth of, 11 million.
Provided you can attribute all the EBITDA to only one business. Remember, the number of private schools we serviced in this quarter were less than what we did last quarter.
Okay. So you mean to say the number of private schools has
not degrown, but the amount of revenue we got from private schools, if you see the mix to mix, you would see that if there is a mix change. We were 67-33 in quarter two, and we are 79-21 in quarter one.
But
has the
private school revenues Q on Q absolutely in absolute terms decreased, because your growth rate has been
not GSA? Yes.
Any particular reason? Was it from school?
No, it depends on our milestones and billings and revenues recognition.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sadhani.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. At this moment, there are no further questions from participants. I would like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Vijay Thadani for final remarks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your very enthusiastic response and very detailed questions. As always, we discover new data points that we should be ready with, and it will be our endeavor to make sure that we provide you with those data points. We were able to handle most of the questions just in case there were any data points which we did not respond to or could not respond to. We would endeavor to get in touch with you and respond to them on phone or email. The last thing which remains is to thank you for A, your confidence, B, your cooperation, C, your guidance, and we look forward to your continued support as we try to continue to grow through these choppy times. Many parts of our business are very strong, stable, and growing. Some of the starting operations are having trouble given the choppy environment, and some of the geographies are challenged, as I discussed about US, and we look forward to your support and guidance as we go through these periods. Thank you once again for your very participative discussions this time, and good night.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for choosing WebEx conferencing service. That concludes this conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you and have a great evening.